world, and welcome to the Inside Ride, a top 20 training podcast. Here we go. I am Kevin Brennan, soon to be joined by Tom Cody. We are both friendly, affable, and speakers, authors, trainers for Top 20 Training, a social emotional learning company. So if you need any of that, meaning professional development, student retreats, curriculum, books, etc., we are part of the crew. So let us know. info@top20training.com if you need to get a hold of us. So today, beautiful episode 37. Today we have Melissa Stanley, professional learning coordinator for the Minot Public School System in beautiful North Dakota. Melissa, like all educators, has done a million different things in schools, and she is currently serving as professional learning coordinator. So tons of good, tons of great. Here we go. Thanks for being along for this week's ride.
Hi, everybody. It's the Inside Ride podcast, the every now and then podcast put out by Top 20 Training. This is Tom Cody speaking at you. I'm the older version, and the younger version is who?
Kevin James Brennan. How you doing?
Good to see you.
It's good to see you. You look borderline Canadian, Tom.
Yeah, I know, but our viewers don't know what that means because they're listening on audio. Yeah, I do look Canadian. I just came back from Banff and Lake Louise, and it was wonderful up there.
Nice.
And Kevin, you got a week at the lake, toes in the sand.
Toes in the sand, feet kicked up, watching my kids play with all their cousins play. I guess the older kids don't play. They stand around a volleyball court and grunt. Had a great week, some rest and rejuvenation. And now this week I'm kicking into soccer gear. Getting ready for the fall for the team I help coach. So, yeah, having a ball, man.
And then for all you educators out there listening, I hope you've had rest and rejuvenation, refresh, replenish, refuel. Also, you know, Kevin and I and our team are ready to go to meet you in August. If you're listening and you're still looking for PD, remember, we're better than bloodborne pathogens. That's our battle cry. So bring us in. Today, we're lucky enough to have Melissa Stanley with us. She is the former director, well, she'll describe her job, but assistant superintendent, I believe, in Minot Public Schools, North Dakota. Why not Minot? I met Melissa 10 years ago, maybe more, Melissa.
Yeah, about that.
And it was at a conference, and I held the elevator door for Melissa, and we've been like buddies ever since. I've worked in Minot enough where they let me vote there now. They worked on the bridge for 15 years, and I was there for almost all of it. I think it's done, finally. But Melissa, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So tell us about yourself. You started as a classroom teacher?
Yes, yeah. I'm a longtime educator. I spent 7 years in elementary special education. I did about 7 years in middle school special education. I was a district arts facilitator for a bit. I spent a number of years in the general education classroom, primarily teaching fourth grade. And then most recently, the last 6 years, I stepped out of the classroom to become the district professional learning coordinator. So that's been a great gig as well. All of those gigs have been good for different reasons. Tom introduced me as assistant superintendent at the top. Actually, that's not my former title, but I was at the district level for delivering professional learning for the past 6 years. So
the superintendent of Minot's name is Dr. Vollmer, Dr. Mark Vollmer. And if he turns around, he runs into Melissa. If he goes to the bathroom, Melissa's like standing by the door telling him four things he has to do. So she may not have that title. Yeah. Let's just say, and she's going to be too humble to say this, she's driving quite a bit of what's going on in Minot Public Schools for the last half dozen years. And I've been blown away by that. So
Well, you know, it's all the work is in the, all the success comes from the teamwork, right?
Totally.
And 100% it matters who the leader is. the leader, oh my gosh, the leader matters. So I've been lucky to work with Dr. Vollmer as superintendent, and he also ranches. And so he has that superintendent rancher balance, and he's in the saddle for Minot Public Schools for the upcoming school year. That's exciting. So more good things will happen. And yeah, I'm excited to continue to support him any way I can.
That's great. And I just love the in the saddle for the upcoming year. I'm a former English teacher, so I like anything with words. So keep that rolling.
There you go.
Rolling. Ranch and saddle, how she put, you know.
Alliteration.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Hey, what's always impressed me about you, Melissa, is you're always looking at what they need, whether it's students, whether it's Vollmer, whether it's admins. You're always talking about what do they need? What do they need? And not what they want. But what do they need? What do the students need? What do the kids at the alternative school need? What do the middle school people need? And right now, that's a big, long list in American education. But now people are hurt and starving for meaning. Our schools are a mess, and I'm sure Minot is no different. Everybody's struggling. You can't find teachers for Minot State University anymore. It's become a very difficult profession. So, just again, thank you for taking a look at what people need up there and trying to provide that. What do they need right now? What's your opinion, Melissa? What are people needing? Like, especially staff people, like what are they?
Well, Tom, I think it's interesting you started with that because one of the needs is to have conversation with educators, like living room conversations, right? So that all voices are heard, and so that needs and wants can be delineated. They're not the same thing. Sometimes what you want, you know, I want more time to work in my classroom, or I want a different resource, or I want smaller class sizes. They might be really critical wants, but aren't variables that you can control or even move forward on given the current state of education. You know, we just have to be crystal clear that the landscape of education has changed markedly, right? We know burnout's on the rise. We know there's sub shortages. We know that there are teacher shortages. Yesterday, I was in a session for leadership shortages. So that coupled with the push for more online learning options has taken us away from the four walls of a classroom, right? So we have to be very mindful of what the needs are and put our resources towards those needs in a targeted way. So for me, I think that begins with conversation with leaders and their staff together in the room. And let's just talk about the state of the state and let people voice their concerns and then roster those concerns. And then we only have X amount of hours. So all schools have to prioritize and make sure what's on the top of the list matters most and leverage one or two things that can move the needle on what's at the top of the list.
Well, it's amazing what it feels like to be heard, you know? And it sure feels better to speak rather than debate. So to what you're saying about being in the room with leaders and staff in the form of a conversation is very freeing, and it matters a whole heck of a lot. Cause like exactly what you said, then we're just chatting it out, getting it out there. I feel safe and comfortable to get it out. And then, you know, like you said, all right, now let's drill down, and maybe that's at the future meeting, whatever, but let's get to the place where we start saying, all right, well, what's priority one? What can we do here? And I think sometimes even when working with kids, we forget that incredibly important piece of just pausing and letting people get stuff out and making sure the other side of the room is taking stuff in. So good. Excellent.
Social emotional learning. Melissa was on the front end of this, knowing that one of those needs is social emotional health of the teachers, the staff, the maintenance people. And that's where our relationship started with Top 20 Training. Was one of those needs was, we can't just go in the classroom, tell everybody to sit down and shut up anymore. Like the old Tom Cody days in 1982, that was great. Everybody shut up or I'll call your mom. That model changed quickly. And I think Minot was, I'll brag about Minot for a minute. They've been ahead of this game for a long time. And not everybody gets it, but most of them up there did it, that you got to take this child first approach. It's about the kid. It's about the student. It's not about the physics teacher's therapy. It's not about the making sure that the front office worker is having a great day or not. It's more about the kids. And so I think, Melissa, you have really been the champion of this. I think you've made sure it won't go away. Talk a little bit about what you see. What's Top 20 done up there? We've been up there forever. Like, what impact? I know you're
right. You have well, actually, when the first time I reached out to Tom was because we wanted to bring in, somebody that could connect with our teachers on the critical SEL topic in a way that was real and that teachers could relate to. And Tom's delivery is such that he uses humor well, he uses realistic examples from the classroom well, and things that teachers can connect to because they've had similar experiences. So we started there, and that went over well. I'm going to be honest, anything you do with professional learning exists on a continuum. And on one end, you have educators that want more, and they're hungry and they're chasing it down. And on the other end of the continuum, you have people that are not interested in that content at all. So we did have a large group of people that were hungry for more conversation about SEL, as in particular, in a way that we could do that consistently across schools. So after that, we looked at leaders and started asking what leaders needed, and allowed leaders to come to more top 20 work with a couple of teacher leaders, and that so they could go back to their building and not do this work alone, but have conversation about how that might look in their individual schools. So Tom's been really gracious about scaffolding the work with us based on what our needs are. And because it's like anything, when you start, you think you're going to go straight up the mountain, right? And then once you get started, you take all kinds of detours, right?
Yeah. We had about a dozen different plans since we started collaborating. So just to catch everybody up, Kevin, you too, there's a health class in ninth grade where top 20 is taught, like six topics. Then there's an actual course called Top 20, I believe. Is that what they're calling it? Or
I think it might be rostered as essential skills. I'd have to double check.
Essential skills, but it is basically and a couple of teachers are doing a great job with that course. It's an elective course where they have three sections, maybe four. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then and the mini lessons are being taught once in a while in advisories up in Minot. And the mini lessons are also being taught at the alternative school called Souris River. And I do want to point out, especially to Kevin, who's unaware of this, maybe up there, Melissa's always put Souris River right on top of the list. Mm-hmm. And this is an alternative school. There are 100 kids enrolled. On a good day, you might get 50, 60 kids there. Mm-hmm. They come and go. They come and go with all kinds of baggage from their life. But I take my hat off to you, Melissa, in that Souris River, percentage-wise, is a tiny bit of your population, but it's always been at the forefront of any work we do. They're always invited to the table. They have unique challenges. I think that's fair to say. Mm-hmm. You've always put them first or near first. And I think that's That may go back to your SPED background, Melissa. Talk about that for a minute. You have a place in your heart for those kids.
Well, and I don't know that it's my special ed background. I just believe in that particular building. The leader is really hungry to do the best he can for all kids who have not succeeded necessarily in their previous school. So now they have these students that they're working with, to personalize everything and, you know, help them become the best they can be. And so it's important that we give them what they need as well. To speak to Tom's point of the health curriculum in 9 through 12, that would be like for all of the people out there that build multi-tiered systems of support, that ninth grade health class would be like the tier one for 912 SEL. And then the course, the elective course is like a tier two delivery. So we started that work in August. The three high schools involved will be able to have additional time to develop that further so they can embed that work. But it's continually a work in progress, finding the right teachers who are interested in delivering, responding to how kids react to the content, what was the most engaging for kids, so that we can really meet them where they're at. And then also constant communication with those leaders who are driving that work in their buildings.
Yeah. What, talk to me about what you mean by finding the right teachers.
Well, you know, I guess that is true of all content. So I'm not going to single SEL out. I think, you know, there are some outstanding kindergarten educators that are so born and put on this earth to teach kindergarten, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Or I think of, I know of a high school science teacher that was made to teach chemistry. Mm-hmm. I mean, born to teach chemistry. And so I think educators find their content and their passion, and that seems to all collide somehow. And I think the same is true for top 20. I know when Tom first shared his story with me about how he came to be part of top 20, I think it's timing, it's experience, it's heart and soul, passion for having those conversations with kids.
Yeah. And I'm just so glad you mentioned it, because, you know, with SEL being, spotlighted as a need throughout the world, really, in the nation, there's this next step of like, well, that means everyone's got to do it. And not everyone can deliver it, you know, in an authentic way for kids. And you mentioned, what was the kids' reaction to the lesson concept? I mean, that's huge as well. Like Tom wasn't ready to teach this stuff in 82. You know what I mean? But there's a moment in Tom's life where certain concepts, strategies, tools resonated, fell into place, and then it just became incredibly authentic to do so, you know? And I think that's one of the biggest challenges we see after we're in a school, because leadership often says, all right, we're all going to do this, let's get in. We say, well, let's pump some brakes here for a minute and let's get the right folks in the right place to deliver this. Because it's a absolute squasher when you have someone delivering any SEL, let alone top 20 trainings SEL content, that isn't authentic, that does it in a way that has even a hint of, well, let's get through this. Because then the kids are like, what? Why? What are we doing? What are we even doing right now? And the likelihood of it settling in is, well, it's very unlikely. And I think, you know, going back to even what Tom said, do you call it a top 20 course? And I think you said calling it essential skills. Well, so that's where my brain's been at for 3 years, is like, what is this? Because it's not top 20. In my mind and heart, in terms of sharing it with a kid of any age, it's not, let me come share some top 20 with you. Like at the soccer field last night, Melissa, I did not share top 20 with my soccer players. I shared some skills and ideas that are going to make the moment better, more effective. Now, I used top 20 concepts and strategies, but you know, it's that fine line of finding the right way to package it to a kid so they say, oh gosh, this is essential, or this is going to make my day a little better, you know, because that's really what this stuff does. When I'm aware of my thinking, my day is better. You know, when I'm aware Tom is below the line, my day is better. It's those moments when I forget those things, forget to utilize the tools that I have, that all of a sudden it feels like the most muddy, slow moving, crabby pants Kevin day of the year. So those are those spotlights that just resonate when you were speaking.
Yeah, and Minot has done a good job not taking the cookie cutter model for homeroom. A lot of schools, Melissa, just try to do 20 minutes every day. And I think Minot fooled around with that a little bit in advisory, but it just doesn't work when you have the 83rd most interested person teaching it. It comes off as I'm the most 83rd most interested in teaching this. So I love that Melissa and the crew have really, you have worked on handcrafting this to fit what you really need, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Kevin.
And that's not easy, mind you. Sorry. Handcrafting to fit what you need. That's not easy. That's super difficult. So, so thank you for making that a priority, you know, because I truly believe that kids just need the extra stuff to navigate these years. These are hard years for kids. We can't forget that, you know. They're beautiful, wonderful years, but they're really difficult.
But Melissa has a saying, put on your big boy pants or whatever you say to me all the time. Let's get to work. Get rid of the pajamas. Let's get going and work. Melissa, this has taken work to grind this out in mind. I mean, and you are, you and I have been talking a lot, and I just applaud that you just don't quit. You know, you're a dog with a bone and you're not giving it up. You know,
right. Well, you know, I think that the saying that I always remind Tom of is take off your pajamas and let's go to work. I think that's a little bit easier for educators who are passionate about the content. You know, when the chemistry teacher is so jazzed about chemistry, so are the students.
Totally.
Right? So that's any content area. So that's why you know, the teachers that are really enthusiastic about teaching essential skills, whether it's adaptability or collaboration or communication. What are the other ones? Learner mindset, critical thinking, empathy, perseverance. Those are all essential skills, right? But as soon as you throw those essential skills on the table, then educators say, great, we agree. Kids need all those things, but how do we do it?
Yeah.
And then boom, then you can step into top 20 and say, this works.
Yeah. And you're not starting from scratch. We got some curriculum and PowerPoints. At least they got something to work with where you're not trying to make it. Here's what drives me nuts. Kevin, I'm sure this drives you nuts. We're going to teach grit today by talking about grit and resiliency for 2 hours. That doesn't teach grit or resiliency. Doing your math homework creates grit. Doing, getting to work, like Melissa's talking about. You get resilience by running into hard stuff like Shakespeare in class and getting through it.
Yeah.
Or two-a-days in football. Or the kids were hot last night at soccer, Kevin. You don't teach a soccer team grit by talking about grit.
Right.
And that's what I love what Minot has done with that essential. And by the way, I hate the term soft skills, and I'm sure Melissa won't use that term because it bugs me. That stuff is not soft. That's the hardest thing on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Off skills, what, for marriage? You need grit, resiliency. It's not easy. It's hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think fractions are soft. I don't know that that's a big deal in the world right now. And I did fractions for 40 years.
Hey, this is a good time in the podcast for my own Tom that I don't have to click the explicit button when I publish this yet.
But you can insert your own adjective in there, 40 and then adjective years. I don't know what I taught 7/8 plus 2/3 for. I don't know what that was for. But I do know that those kids I taught for 40 years are using resiliency and self-discipline and collaboration and all the things they're trying to do that Melissa's trying to spearhead up in Minot. Kevin, new school up there. New school, Minot North. They've been working on this for 4 or 5 years, and they're going to have two high schools now. Right now they're in a 9-10 building and an 11-12, and they're going to turn one of those buildings in the middle, and then they're going to have two fully operational high schools, which is huge for Minot. This is like hundreds of years in the making, right? How's that going? I know the staff is still wondering which school am I at, and that's creating some tension and excitement, right?
Right. Yeah, it is. It's very exciting. It's a big change for our community, and I think a change that's long overdue. But, you know, regardless of if our 9-12 students attend Magic City or if they attend Minot North, the essential skills are part of operationalizing all doing, right?
Yeah.
So we want kids to be well and whole and good wherever they are.
Yeah.
And so part of the excitement around that new high school is also, you know, how do the other pieces, like the essential skill pieces, fit into all the work? And that leadership team is got a great opportunity, fresh canvas, right? So they can bring in and start to build all the critical pieces. It's going to be exciting to see where that goes.
Fantastic. So 2 9-12s?
Correct.
Wow.
And then also an alternative high school. So we'll have 3 high schools.
Fantastic. So Kevin, if you're up in Minot, you'd be trying to steal all the soccer players and make sure they go to North. We're making sure that doesn't happen up in Minot. We don't want them hoarding, and there's boundaries. I'm sure there's going to create tension around athletics because
a little bit
around all the basketball players. But like you say, after a couple of years, well, for a while, when we first merged schools, Kevin and I were part of a merged school. Creighton and Durham Hall merged in 1988. And it took about 3 years till people were saying, well, somebody from the other school jammed the Xerox machine. You know, I mean, whenever you put people together, it's going to be like, wow, that's a 9th grade teacher. You know, it takes a little while for everybody to realize, no, we're part of North now. Yeah. We're part of Magic now. The past will go away eventually. But
well,
I just love go ahead.
I was going to say, how's their sense, Melissa, how in broad strokes, how's everyone's sense of purpose? Because when you have a good purpose, educational purpose, you can kind of weather those things easier. Oh, let's not forget it's about not about the best soccer team. It's about what's best for the kids, what's best for the kids. So do people lean on purpose up there?
You know, I would like to say yes. I think that, you know, I think our leaders are working really hard to bring staff together. They're going to be able to meld staff from various buildings. So we might have a middle school teacher that hops up to a high school position. And, you know, when the dust settles from where all of our staff will be, it might be melding staff from 4 different previous schools, right? So all staff coming together will have done really great things in their previous buildings that they want to take with them and, you know, carry forward into their new positions. So just considering, what does team building look like? What do our school-wide expectations look like? All of those things will be part of the conversation. And that does begin with, what's our purpose here?
Mm-hmm. What are we trying to get? Cool.
Melissa, you are moving to something. You have not announced what that is yet, but this is your final year in this role in Minot. I'm sure you carry positives and negatives as you move on. I'm sure you've made lasting friendships, and it'll be weird. Talk about how that's going to feel as you move on to this next thing, which you're not announcing yet, but
yeah,
how you feel?
Well, you know, it's like I always joke that I spent my whole career in Minot public schools. So you kind of end up with maroon and gold blood, right? And I've been blessed to have a lot of opportunities, like I said at the top of the podcast, with a variety of educational roles. So I do know this. I do know that kids now have needs that we may or may not have seen before. So as we stay focused on best practice and doing what we know works, do more of what works, we also have to keep our eye on, you know, what's coming up next for next best practice as things just keep imploding, right? Like, consider technology for a minute, right? With like GPT chat and how that's rocking our world. And so I think there's so many good things that we've done historically, and I'm proud of the time I've spent with in Minot Public Schools. We have great teachers, we have good leaders, we have great families. But at the end of the day, you always have to be poised for change, right? Mm-hmm. And change is hard.
Yeah.
Change is hard. One gentleman told me, a high school educator told me, change is great if you get to take something off your plate. And that's true. If you perceive the change to make your life easier, right?
Yeah.
It's different than if you have to adjust things that might, you know, involve a little more work, or change is just hard. So moving forward, I'm excited about what will come from Minot Public Schools with an expansion of schools and with teachers being able to move around and try new roles. That's exciting. And I'm exciting for our community to, you know, continue to place value on education. Like, so teachers feel valued and great things will come.
Yep. Hey, question. We have a lot of folks, most of our listeners are educators for sure, but we have a lot of folks that are not. When you said kids now may have needs we may or may not have seen before, I'm curious to unpack that just briefly, because that's not just a school issue. I mean, these kids often go to work after school. These
right.
kids are driving on the same roads as us. These kids are managing people. You know what I mean? So I think that's super interesting for all listeners. What have you kind of seen, or what's been popping up in terms of needs, just to bring our audience into the ed world a little bit more?
Well, I feel like, we can't keep going back to COVID, and because our world now is post COVID, it's our now.
Yep.
But, you know, we're foolish not to consider the ramifications or the residual impact of COVID. And, you know, like, there are kids that are hungry for socialization, kids that are maybe doing more school on virtual platforms and are less involved with groups of people. And that's changing interactions. I mean, even just our drive-by pickup, like I spoke with a woman one day who told me her teenage daughter is great about calling things in and picking up things at Target, but won't go in, won't go into Target, won't, you know, or will call in the groceries, drive up, pick up the groceries, but her teenage daughter doesn't want to go in anywhere.
Sure.
And she's concerned about that. And
yeah.
she said, you know, Melissa, what do you think about that? And I said, well, I'm wondering what you think about that. Let's talk about what you think and what your daughter thinks, because, you know, those behaviors are things that are not uncommon in our world now. So is that something that is part of our educational foundation moving forward, that we want to make sure that kids build relationships and they are confident to move in and out of any arena in their life, and feel safe to do that and feel like they have the skill set to do that instead of being concerned about those things, doing those things? I don't know if that is part of what we value, then we have to plan for that, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Now, of course, all over the country, people are challenging what Melissa's talking about, saying, well, that's not the school's job.
Right.
We got to have vouchers. We got to start our own little schools. We can't let schools raise our kids. But meanwhile, schools have to help raise these kids because they're not getting it. The nuclear family has been shattered. I'm not talking about just one parent homes. I'm talking about the economy has changed how a family operates. Mom is not making PB&J sandwiches at 3 o'clock and greeting children like she used to, or dad. It's different. And I think we are at a real crossroads in America right now around these family values. And can schools really teach self-confidence and great? Oh, that's our job as parents. Well, okay, then take off your pajamas and do that. As Melissa would say, this is a tough thing. And there's many states that are moving the ball down the field, you know, and trying to handcuff schools around this work. Right? Kevin, thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I think the older you get in school, grade wise, as a former high school teacher, I feel like I can speak to this. The emphasis and the focus becomes so much on content curriculum, you know, and where's the space to teach anything else? If I got to get through 2 Shakespearean plays, a handful of novels, teach an analytical essay and MLA and APA formation, you know? So I think there's sometimes a pushback there. And I also think parents don't fully understand, and this isn't a shot on parents, I'm a parent, but they don't fully understand how school works. School is not, and I would say it never, probably ever has been, just content. It's human development, and they develop when they go to school. Yes, content gets stronger. They learn base knowledge. They Bloom's taxonomy stuff, sure, but the darn walking down the hall and navigating a line and then checking in at the office because you're late, that's life, you know, that, and people are developing. So I think when parents put up a guard like, well, no, you're not going to raise my kids. You teach them content. It's like, there's no choice. They are learning all sorts of things other than just content in these buildings. And we need to protect that. We really need to protect that in schools and give people and remind teachers of how important those little moments are. I was heavily fixated for the first few years of my professional career on content. Why? Because I was brand new. And I'm like, well, I got to show these folks that I can definitely assign great projects and assignments. And that's good. But what I found through my years teaching is, geez, my time at the door was way more important than my Shakespeare stuff. My time in the halls, way more important. All stepping stones to get to Shakespeare. I'm not saying throw Shakespeare out. I'm just saying Shakespeare became very easy when I did some of the other very important essential work with human development.
Yeah. Melissa Willow Sweeney, our partner, always says school, she defines school as a social aquarium where occasionally learning takes place. Mm-hmm. It's really the social aquarium, which we, Melissa, talk about how the aquarium got broken during COVID because the fish were all over the place. It's hard to teach fish sitting in their living room because we lost something. Even if we didn't lose reading scores or content, what did you see a loss of in Minot?
Well, and I like that aquarium idea. We often talk about ecosystems for learning, you know, and, you know, kids are happy coming to school when they feel valued and safe and they have the opportunity to interact and make friends and build relationships and solve problems together and all of those things. You need to be with people to collaborate. You need to be with people to build relationships. Right. So when kids were isolated, families were isolated. And I don't think it's just students. I think adults too were impacted by that, isolation piece and not having normal conversations or connections with people. Coming back, we were fortunate in Minot. Our superintendent elected to start school in the fall of 2020. So we went home for statewide shutdown in February, right? But the following fall, we came back and kids, families had the option to do virtual learning with our school district if they wanted to. But many families chose to send their kids back. We did the cleaning procedures and the masking, and we kept kids in school all year. And that was a huge success based on how hard our staff worked to make that happen and how hard our leaders worked. But boy, there were kids that needed to come back because the isolation was too much.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Goodness sakes. And I, my heart breaks and I get a little edgy when I think about some kids making decisions as an opportunity to not go to school. All right, here's some realities that are floating out there. I'm a kid. I don't fully understand these realities. I just want to stay home, you know? Now that's a judgmental thing to say, but it's a reality. There are kids out there that made decisions that weren't in their best interest. Because guess what? Kids don't always know what's in their best interest, you know? But that was such a, what a head spinning time. Goodness sakes, it was terrifying and unknown. And you talk about, Melissa, talk about change being difficult. Goodness sakes. I remember stepping into schools that were still in session. And watching exactly what you said, watching the educators, the minute the kids left the room, the protocols that were in place because of the information we had at the time. It's like, yeah, all right, every surface is clean. No one's coming in yet. Whoa, they're not coming in the room yet. Make sure you got spacing. I mean, that is so exhausting. And then you teach them. So yeah, wild, 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 wild. I'm such a proponent of connection. However that works. Like, I feel like I'm connecting with you right now. We're not in the same room. So this is connection. I'm just such a, it's so important for people, you know, other species can go without it, but not humans.
Hey, we go back to want and need. That kid wanted to stay home, but the kid needed to be in school. So
bingo.
I think the theme of this morning's session has kind of been teachers. I mean, my grandson wants ice cream all day. Charlie would eat ice cream all day. That's what he wants. He needs a banana here and there. I'd rather work in my room. Well, no crap, Sherlock. I'd rather go to the movies today. I mean, yeah. But once in a while, we got to do some of this work, and I applaud what Melissa's done. Number two, this is for sure the longest Melissa and I have ever had a conversation because we're both, I'll use the term attention deficit syndrome. I don't know what we are.
Right, what exactly.
Her line was squirrel, and I go acorn. Like, we're both like, oh. Our phone conversations are sometimes on the seconds. And so this has been a treat to just, and especially have Kevin referee this.
Because great.
When we talk, it's like Thursday, Tuesday, call you, bye. Acorn, squirrel, you know, nut. So you're a treasure in my life, Melissa. I want to thank you for this time. Whatever endeavor you're going to go off to next, those students are going to benefit, whoever they are. And once you get going on that, we'll have you back on this podcast and find out what you're up to. But if people want to connect with Melissa right now, Melissa will give Kevin some of the info, and it'll be in our notes. If you have questions for Melissa or want a follow-up question about women in leadership positions, there's all kinds of things we didn't get into today. But if you want to contact Melissa, that info will be there.
Yeah, I mean many years of special ed, many year arts facilitator. I wrote that down. Professional learning coordinator. Melissa's a great resource, folks, to just about everyone. And just big thanks, massive, massive, massive thanks for doing the hard work that's essential for kids and adults. You know, don't forget the adults benefit when this work is done. So thank you so much.
Melissa, any last word for educators or for anybody? What do you got?
Well, if anybody would want specific examples of top 20 at elementary, middle, or high school, I would be happy to share more information. We've had success at all levels for different reasons. But my last comment would just be to leaders out there who might be listening, your role is critical. Good leaders matter. And, you know, be brave and courageous and get your staff together and have conversations so that good teachers can continue to do good things for kids. And then again, reach out for support when you don't have the answers. We're like the Beatles. We all get by with a little help from our friends.
There you go. Hey, how would people get a hold of you? Is there a nice way you'd want people to reach out? Is it email? Is it social media? Yeah. Is it phone?
You know what? I can send you an email, and I'm actually going, I'll send you a phone number too, because it's quickest with text sometimes, right?
Nice.
Nice. Cool. Yeah.
That's great. All right.
Kevin, thank you for your morning. And let's sign out now, people. This podcast is brought to you by top20training.com. And we'll see you next time, which is, we don't know. Kevin, I'll try to keep grinding these out.
Keeps August people on their toes.
August gets a little loony for us. So we'll see. No promises. But we'll try to pound this out. We're going to get much more regular schedule once we get back to school in September.
Yep, for sure.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Thanks, all. Episode 37 is a done deal. Thanks so much to Melissa Stanley. Check the show notes to get her contact information. Folks, share this, subscribe to it, pass it along, be a pal. And if you need anything from us at Top 20 Training, www.top20training.com, the 20 is numerical, go ahead and check out our website. We have an online store where you can reach us at info@top20training.com. All the best to you. Make it great. This is Kevin saying goodbye. And Tom, if he was on right now, would say goodbye. Take care. Thanks for being along for this week's ride.